But yet, he was saved. He didn't look saved like old Lot, but he was saved. There was so much of this world in him. And I'm afraid there's so much of this world in us. I really do believe there's a little Jacob in all of us. I believe there's a little Jacob in all of us. God needed to deal with him, and also that God needs to deal with us so many times in our life. How God deals with Jacob is how God is going to deal with us. This is not what God has said. This is what God is saying tonight to us. Why did God love Jacob? Why was the reason that he loved him? Not for what Jacob was. Why did God love you tonight? For what you are? Why it says that God loved Jacob? Why did God love Jacob? Not for what he was, but what God knew what he could be. You see, God loves us to make us what we ought to be. He loves us while we was yet sinners. He proved that, did he not, on the cross of Calvary, that this man, Jesus Christ, died for me. Nobody has never died for me before. But this man, Jesus Christ, he proved that he loved me. I hope you have no doubts about the love of Jesus Christ tonight, that you need to share with people that this man, Jesus, loved the world of people, that he was willing to die for everybody in the world. Everybody is going to be born. He loved Jacob because what he could be. He loves us for what we could be. God did not change Jacob to love him. He loved him and changed him. He don't change us and then love us. He loves us and then he changes us. I think we all can understand that. With all of our weaknesses, all of our trials, all of our difficulties, all of our failures in life, God still loves us to change us. He got into a wrestling match. Now, Jacob coming back now to meet Esau. Everybody is ever saved knows he cannot be total right with God until he's right with his brother. You cannot be right with God until you're right with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Esau knew he could not be right with the Lord until he was right with his brother. God says, get back. Go back. I like you see, first of all, Jacob, you know, he's a defended man because he's God has protected him. The angel of the Lord, it says in verse 1 and 2, met him, and Jacob said, this is the God of hosts. He saw and understood that he was protected there, defended by God. God defends him. The angel escort, the unseen guardian, now become manifest. In Hebrews 1 and 14, it says, are they not all minister spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Do you know that God has got minister spirits that you cannot see that's with you tonight? Did you know every day that there's a ministering spirit with you? I don't know how many angels that God made, but he made enough to carry out his work here on this earth and in heaven. God says, I sent these spirits. Now, Jacob could not see them. God teaches them that he has been with him all the time. He saw these spirits. He saw these angels at Jacob's ladder. Now they manifested themselves again in his life, that he might understand and teach him that God is with him. Nahum is a place, it means a place of two hosts, his army and the army of the Lord, the heavenly host. Now the Lord opened his eyes, and I pray, you know, that's one of the things we need. We need our eyes opened to what's around us this day. And the Lord of hosts, God defended him, and he was there to protect him. God promised to take care of his, did he not? So many times in our life we get worried and upset of things that's happening to us and things that happen in the country. But God said, I'm going to take care of it. It don't look too good to me in our country. I know that people are getting out of jobs and it don't look too good to me in the future. But God promised to take care of us. We may not understand how. We may not see how. But we're going by faith and not sight. God says, I'll take care of you. He may take us out of this world. The rapture might come back this year. And we won't be around to worry about it. Or you know, death might strike somebody. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know what? God might take you on home and you won't have to worry about making it. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. don't know how I'm going to get through this sickness. You might, you know what, God might come get you, and you ain't got to worry about paying your bills or sickness. God said, I'm going to take care of it. I don't know how, but he says he's going to do it. I believe he can do it, don't y'all? I believe God can take care of Jacob. He had to learn this lesson also, how God had protected him. But don't you see that Jacob also is a distressed man? In verses 3 through 6, you see the story now that here he is, the two great armies. Old Esau's got his 400 men, and there's old Jacob there with a host of people. Verse 7 and 8, then Jacob was greatly afeared and distressed. Now he was fixing to go meet him. He had 400 men coming out. And he said, you know what I'll do now if we find it. He said, oh, I got all these camels, all this flock, he says. And he said, I see this company of old Esau. They might smite me. So here's what we'll do. So he's been thinking about it. His mind began to start working again. He said, I'm just going to divide these flocks up. I'm going to divide them up, and I'm going to start sending flocks over and say this is a gift. Verse 11, it says, now I already read this, I believe I did. Deliver me, it says, I pray. Then old Jacob began to pray. Now he already divided up his family. He began to pray from the hand. He said, you know, I pray thee from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with my children. Now he began to pray. Now he believes in prayer, but this is the last resort. As a lot of time is with me. It ought to be the first thing we do, but a lot of time it's the last resort. I know someone asked Joyce one time, where'd you meet IB at? She said, I met him there at a travel agent. He was a last resort. I do that, I tell you. I do everything else like old Jacob. I've been right here with him. Seemed like I was living with Jacob these last 2 days. And I do that same thing. I wait and I can't do nothing else. He's done everything he could, but you see, then he said, I'll pray about it. He ought to pray about it to start with. But he said, I'll divide my company up. I'll send him things over. He ought to pray about it to start with. Jacob believed in prayer, but he used it in a sandwich way. He's going to set things right. So start with what he done. I'll send some gift there to Esau. He divided up his all of his camel and the sheep and the goats. He said, I'll send 5 bands over. We're going to get all these sheep. And I send this band over, and set a little space between them, and I have all these camels coming back. And then another space, and I have all these goats coming. And all these animals, he said, this is going to be a gift to Esau, maybe to soften him up a little bit. He says, now when old Esau comes out to tell these herdmen, when the herdmen go to carry him now, he says, now you just tell him this is a gift from Jacob. Trying to soften him up a little bit. Then he divided up all of his host into two companies. We see that he was a distressed man. But he was a defeated man also because, as I said, the chickens had come home to roost in his life. You know, I tell you, you see people that say they're saved and they don't want to serve and they don't want to worship. And they think they're getting by. I can tell you one thing. The chicken's going to come home to roost one day. They're going to come home. Verse 21, 22, and 23. So went the presence over before him. He's sending them over to Esau now. Before him and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and the 11 sons and passed over the brook Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. All that he had, he sent them over. Now we find out God brought him to a place now of isolation. This man now, he was a defeated man. All the host of army before him didn't know what he was going to do. He started sending his gifts over, divided up his company in two companies. And then he says, I know what I'll do. And then he says, I'll pray about it. Now we find out that God has brought him to a place of isolation. Remember, God's going to win this battle. You're going to lose. You need to lose. Because we're too full of self. We're too full of pride. We're not being broken. God cannot use us until he breaks us. But you see, God has brought him now to a place of isolation. There ain't nobody there can help him now, but a place of isolation. Verse 24, it says, and Jacob was left alone. You see, that's to a place of isolation. That's where God has to bring us sometimes. He was left alone. God brings us to a place of isolation so he can say, I want you to be still and know that I am God. Now, sometime in this isolation, I don't know what it might be that we're left alone. Sometimes it might be a sickness. Then maybe the doctor says, you know, and there's a lot of sickness today, nowadays, you know, the doctor said they can't cure. They don't know what it is to start with. They just make up these old long words of what you got. They come these words out I never heard before, and the doctor just makes them up, I think. They don't know what's wrong with you. It might be a sickness, you know what? It might be in a hospital bed somewhere or another that God brings you to isolation that no one can help you there. You're laying and you're staring up. No one can help you there. It's a place of isolation. God's speaking to you. It might be a situation in life that you feel so helpless and hopeless that there's nothing it seems like that you can do about it. It's just a situation it seems like there's nobody can help you. You're at the end of your wits. You don't know what to do, and you're just in a place of isolation. You're just helpless. Now, God wants you to come to the garden alone. It says that Jacob was there alone. That's the place he wants us. He wants us to come to the garden alone. The place of isolation. Just you and God. Though carnal man, the carnal person, we don't want to be left alone with God. We ain't got time for God in our life. Oh, we got too much to do. We won't be surrounded by people and surrounded by friends, and we won't be surrounded by our business and our activities of life. We won't be surrounded by our television, our computers, our telephone, or our text messages. We don't want to take time to be with God. How many hours have you spent with God this week already? We don't want to spend time with God, but God wants us to spend time with Him, so He brings us to a place there of isolation that we have to spend time with Him. We can't go nowhere else. He brought us to a place of isolation so He might bring Him to a place there, a confrontation. Verse 24, as I done read that, it says that, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. There's a man that wrestled with him. Now, not that he wrestled with a man, but a man wrestled with him. Now, Jacob was probably laying there, as I visualize this. Jacob was probably laying there, thinking about what he's going to do, trying maybe to doze off, getting a little bit of sleep. The Bible was around him, and there a man jumps on him. Jacob didn't start this battle. He already had a battle before him that day. That following day, Esau was there in front of him. His uncle Laban was back of him. He didn't want to start no more battles. It wasn't Jacob that started this battle. It was the Lord. I want to tell you, the Lord will start a battle in your life. He'll bring you to a place of isolation, and He'll bring you to a place of confrontation in your life with God. It's just a matter of time. He'll deal with us. Here He jumped upon this man. This man pounced upon him. Who is this man? This is not an ordinary angel, I can tell you that. Yahweh, Jehovah, precarnation, I believe, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says in verse 30 of the same chapter, and Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. This was, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ. That Lord have isolated him here in this wrestling match. Now, the Lord started this. The Lord starts this battle. Verse 25, it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Brings him to a place of isolation. Or he might bring him to a place there, a confrontation with the Lord. That he might bring you to a place there of desperation. What am I going to do? He touched his thigh and not out of joint. Did you know a wrestler depends upon his legs more than any other part of his body? That's the strongest part. That's the biggest muscle in your body is your leg muscles. He touched him not in his weakest point, but he touched Jacob in his strongest points. He may touch you in your strongest point. What is your pride, your activity, whatever it might be, mine, but he touches there in our strongest points, in a place that he disabled him in his strongest points. And then he brings him to a place of dependence. Verse 26 and 27 says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Oh, Jacob, he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Have you let God go too easy? You see, like I'm talking about, you get a hold of the Lord in prayer. and you pray for something about 2 seconds and you don't pray for it anymore and you expect God to move in, God don't expect you to turn loose. All through the New Testament tells us how you're supposed to keep on and keep on and keep on asking. Do not turn God. He don't expect you to turn him loose. He wants you to come to a place of total, absolute dependence upon him and the power he has. God says, Jacob said to him, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Well, you see, he's a dependent man now. Look at the transformation there in verse 27 I just read. And he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, what is thy name? The last time that he was asked, what's your name? You know what he said to his father? He lied to him. He says, my name is Esau. The last time he was asked, what is your name? He says, my name's Esau. What is your name? My name is Jacob. You see the transformation he's made now? He's willing to be honest with God. What's your name? My name is Jacob. He admitted to who he was, that old liar. Remember what Jacob means? It means liar. That old schemer. It means, you know, that con artist. What's your name? I'm a liar. I'm a con artist. I'm a schemer. That's who I am. As God asked you tonight, who are you? What's your name? And you see, he tests us and sees in our life, and you see in your life that, well, who I really am. I'm not proud sometimes of who I am. Are you? I'm not proud of who I am sometimes. Be honest with God in confrontation, and you see the transformation takes hold in our life, and he begins to bring the drought out of our life that we might be honest with God and just tell him who we are. I've not been true to you, Lord. I have not been honest with you, Lord. Now, my name is Jacob. Confession. What's your name? 28, and he said, the angel did, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, no more liar, no more schemer, no more twister, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Israel means the prince. You see, he changed his name because he was honest to who he was. You're no longer the child of Satan when you're saved. What's your name? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. God had to break him in order to bless him. God crippled him in order to crown him. You know, God delights in using broken things. Did y'all know it? Jeremiah says, break up that fallow ground. No farmer, you know what? He's going to have to break up that ground before he plants. Before that seed can grow. That old hard heart, that unrepented heart. Jeremiah says, break up that old hard ground of your life and your old heart. Before the seeds of righteousness can grow, it's got to be broken. Gideon had the pitcher with a light in it. Before that light can shine through, it says, Gideon, hold up that pitcher and break that pitcher so the light might shine. The pitcher had to be broken before the light could shine. You see, that's ourself today. Before that, Jesus Christ, the light can shine in this dark world, these pictures of the clay body has to be broken before the light of Jesus Christ to shine through, that the dark world might see Jesus through you. Mary had to break that bottle of perfume so sweet flavor of fill that room and anoint Jesus Christ. You have to be broken in your life that the sweetness of Jesus, that this world might smell Jesus, the aroma of Christ through your life, it has to be broken. Today, Jesus Christ took the loaves and the fishes and broke it and fed 5,000 because of those broken fish and those broken loaves. We have to be broken for the sweetness of the Lord to be seen. Jesus Christ says, this is my body, which is broken for you. He has to have things broken. Now we find that Jacob knew what brokenness, that he might know blessings. And you'll never understand and understand the blessings of God until God breaks you and you begin to understand more of the blessings of God. Many Christians have never been broken. They are winning the battle instead of losing the battle. And we come so many times with our halted spirit, our unbentness, our unbrokenness, and our proud attitude of life as we come and sit many times in service of God and we're not broken. God says in Proverbs, there's seven things I hate, and the first thing he mentions is that proud look. Now we are a proud people of our haughtiness, of our unbrokenness of the day, and God cannot use us because of our proudness. But I like for you to look at Jacob's life, and you see also that he was a different man. Touched of God. He was a touched of God at that time. Did you know that God touches you every day and allows you to get up from sleep? If he did not touch you, you would not be able to get out of bed of a day. In Hebrews chapter 11, you find the end of old Jacob's life, and it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Why was he leaning upon his staff? Because he was a crippled man. All the rest of his life, he had to have a walking stick or a crutch, you might say, a staff. Because from that wrestling match, the Lord crippled him, and he learned that he was a branded man. And everywhere he went, he had to have that crutch to remind him of his brokenness. That God broke him. The rest of his life, he learned to worship leaning. The rest of his life, he learned to worship by leaning. I believe he probably wrote that song. I just believe he did. I wish I could sing it. Marcia, you might sing it. I don't know. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. All through his life, I believe that's a song as he went across his life. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Now, I know there's a song in that old red hymn book that says, learning to lean on the everlasting arm of Jesus. He's what we lean on today. Have you learned to lean? Have you been broken? Are you winning that battle? Or is the Lord winning the battle? You can't afford to win this battle. You can't afford to win this battle. It's cost you too much. A battle you can't afford to win. The brokenness of old Jacob. And he sanctified him. And all the rest of his life, he learned what it was. And he was there wrestling with the Lord. Have you wrestled with the Lord? Is he changing your life? Has he broken you like he needs to? If not, he's still wrestling with you until he breaks you. And you come to the point of really understanding real worship of the Lord. You can't sing that song, can you, Marshall? Can you sing that? You know that song? How about come and sing that? Guess can't come sing a verse or two. I'll back you up. Watch how far back of him I get. Come on. Y'all know that song? Come on, Marshall, sing it. Learning to lean. I don't know how even how to start. Come on. Huh? I don't know. Do you know that song? Robert, you know it too? Robert, can you know it? No. It ain't in that red book. It ain't no other books. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Let's stand up, please.